This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots, gardening on 720 ABC Radio Perth and WA.
Oh, there is not enough hype in that intro bed for what is about to happen next. Sabrina Hahn,
woo,
back in the studios.
Yay!
And me,
back in the studios.
That's where I am. Thank you.
You are.
Christine,
you are.
Filling in.
It is. That's sort of like a very tame kind of a dink a dink dink dinky dink dink dink.
That's not how you are with Amber. So,
but that's not how I am with anyone.
No.
I'm not a dink a dink 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 kind of a person.
That's true. Okay. We could pick a song that summarizes you, but it would take a long time. How's your week been? Good?
Yeah, okay. It's been okay. It's been not too hot. I kind of look around the garden and think, there's a lot to be done, really. But it's okay because I look at the garden and then I look at the shed and go, oh, no, even more work to be done in there. So that encourages me to ignore the shed and go straight back out in the garden.
That's very clever. How long do you give a plant to recover before you throw it out?
It depends if I really, really want it and it's really rare. Mm. Like I'll persist for a year.
Yeah, wow.
And then if it's not coming good, I just go, no, that's a waste of space there and you're never going to do anything. So
yeah, that's right.
Because I can tell the signs early on and I go, oh, you're not looking, I don't know if you're going to be here next year.
This is terminal, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you're a plant doctor. Give her a call, 1300 222 720, and we're getting some gnarly pictures as well.
Mm.
Yeah, oh, graphic from Karen in Kenwick. Let's get into it. Karen, what's happened to your whatever that is?
That's
good start.
I don't know. It's supposed to be roses.
Yeah, it's meant to be roses, but you got a whole pile of stuff going on there with that rose, Karen.
And that same bush has some beautiful blooms on it as well.
Yeah, and look how big the buds are. So it's definitely got chili thrips. Yeah. And that causes all sorts of distortion in the bud. It looks like at some point in time it's had nutrient uptake issues, which could be water not getting through the entire root system. But, yeah, the main shrivelly-looking thing, that's due to chili thrip.
Just chop them all off then and burn them.
Well, not the entire rose bush, but
Or
you don't have to burn them, or you can microwave them, or you can stick them in a bag and just heat treat them in a black plastic bag, as long as it's completely sealed, and you leave it out in the sun on a 41 degree day would do the trick.
Oh, perfect!
I'm sure. I'll be ready for that.
Okay. Very nice,
thank
Karen.
You very much.
Okay,
thank you.
Before you go, Karen,
yes.
I don't know if this is going to work or not, but there's a lot of research being done in looking at how pesticides and insecticides work. And the big push now is to make them so that they're not killing off all our pollinators and all the good things that we want in the garden, all the good insects.
Mm.
So there's a new spray.
We actually have two beehives here.
Okay. So you need to be very careful with what you use on your on your rose bushes. So this new spray has been made from a plant, and the plant is a weed up in the Kimberley. So it's making good use of bad rubbish.
Yeah.
So it doesn't harm any of the pollinators.
Yeah. And here comes the cryptic part.
The cryptic part.
We can't mention it.
Which Karen will remember. Mm. The active constituent is actually from a plant called Clitoria.
Okay.
Oh.
And if you look
we'll
up.
Take pleasure in that.
If you look that up botanically, the plant Clitoria, you'll understand why it has been named so. But it's safe. It's a safe. See, oh, women will remember it. Blokes will probably forget it in half a second. But it's a good shift, I think.
Oh,
the clit shift is obviously going to be better than those nasty systemic chemicals that kill bees and everything else.
Yeah, it's good to increase awareness, definitely. Let's go to Helen, who is in Mullalyup, which is near Bailing Up. Hi, Helen. Oh, have we got you in the...
You're sounding a bit sort of like you're in the TARDIS.
Or the forest. Have we got you?
In the forest, yes.
Oh, okay.
Mullalyup.
Yep, we've got you now. What would you like to know, Helen?
I've got a very large elk horn. It's about 18 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm moving from my home, and I want to know, can I take a slice of it off?
Yes.
And how can I do that?
Easy peasy lemon squeezy, Helen. And do you know what? They grow really well from those platelets. So the best method of cutting an elk horn off and getting that platelet is with a reciprocating saw. Now, if you don't have one of those, just a little hand pruning saw with teeth that are very close together, or if you've got someone that has a recip saw, then use that and you slice the piece that you want, and then you just get something that's flat like a paint scraper. You scrape it off the board and then you reattach it to wherever you want to take it to. Yes, you need to make sure it's flat against the board. So a little tiny bit of sphagnum moss soaked in water, put at the back of the platelet, and some people wire it to the new board or the tree or whatever, or you can cable tie it.
This text, thank you, Helen, and I'm amazed you heard her second question, by the way, because I don't know if I have damaged hearing, but you just...
No, it was a bit warped, but it's okay.
Jeez, you're good.
It's plants.
This text, I can imagine ABC 720 listeners in nurseries trying to explain that clitoris spray.
Now, clitoria. Clitoria.
Oh, good times. All right, let's go to Andrew in Bunbury. Hi, Andrew.
Actually, I've just thought of that. That is going to be hilarious, people going in asking for that. Yeah. Anyway, back to you, Andrew.
Hey, ladies, love listening to you, and Sab's laugh always brings a smile to my face.
Oh, that's good to know. Thank you, Andrew.
Hey, we've got a house in Bunbury. I want to put two or three smallish trees on in our lawn on the western side of the house.
Yep.
We're about a kilometre from the coast, but we've got a hill between us and the ocean, and I'm looking for something to about 4 metres tall.
Yep.
That will be attractive to birds.
Yeah.
And provide a bit of shade.
Okay, so you want sort of like a tree that's a trunk and then a canopy on top?
Yes.
Okay, and do you want it evergreen or deciduous?
Evergreen, if there is such a thing.
Yep, absolutely. So there are some beautiful little mallees that will grow right on the coast. So there's Eucalyptus stoatii, S-T-O-A-T-double-I, stoatii, or it's actually pronounced stoat, the stoat's mallee. Then you've got Eucalyptus obovata, which gets to 4 metres. You've got Eucalyptus, not Kunzea.
Oh, the crust something? Not the leaf mallee.
Cruziana, Eucalyptus cruziana. So all those little mallees are absolutely beautiful.
Awesome. I'm driving, so I won't be writing anything down. But
no, that's all right. Listen to the podcast back. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to.
And the other one you could try is the Eucalyptus piriformis. The pear-fruited mallee.
Yeah.
That's awesome, ladies. Go well.
Okay. Very thanks, good. Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. 1300 222 720. Lots of text too. We're going to preference calls because we like to hear your voice, and then of course you laugh at our bad jokes, and you know that matters.
That's even better.
Oh, you know, I asked about dead plants because I pulled one out of the ground that just, you know, wasn't thriving.
Wasn't going to go.
I feel bad. It was a silky mist. It was a Eremophila nivea, which, you know, it looks like it's everywhere in the nurseries, but is actually a little bit endangered. And I hug the roots and I say sorry to it, and then I put it in the green bin. And it was the start of the cycle. It was the start of the bin cycle. So I sat in that bin at the bottom and I was like, I shouldn't have
all done. On its own.
I feel so bad. How do you harden up?
Oh, I am so tough on plants. They either perform or they are out in my place. Mm. I'm just ruthless.
I've got to channel you, hey. I really do. Oh, Judy in Lake Clifton. Can you save seed from your passion fruit?
Ah, yes, you can.
Hello.
Hello, Judy.
Hi.
So which passion fruit is it?
It is a sunshine special, and yep. I've been saving the seed for yep. several generations. However, this particular one, it's only about, I'll say 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
Had fruit the last couple of years, but this year she's turned up her toes and is dead.
Oh.
But the fruit on it is delicious
yep.
and full and gorgeous, but I have no clue what happened. It's in a difficult location because it's sort of growing in the ground beneath our ancient Jarrah.
Oh, okay.
So that sucked most of the goodness yeah. out and they couldn't compete, I don't know.
No, that's probably what's going on there. Yep, grow the. I would say the problem with the passion fruit, unless it's a virus, if it's a virus, you do not want to use the seed because the virus will be perhaps in the seed.
And how can I tell if it's viral?
Well, is the passion fruit vine's fully dead now?
I'm just picking the last of the shriveled fruit off it, and my plan was to dig it up today to see if I can see anything going on in the root zone.
I would say there's something going on in the root zone. If there is, then it's possibly not a virus. So when you'll get the fruit goes quite woody, the leaves
no,
will...
Okay. No, it's not.
So I would grow that from seed if I were you.
Okay. Mm. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Ooh, thanks,
good luck, Judy.
I'll wait a few more years for more fruit.
Yes. Unfortunately, you're going to have to wait 2 years.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. Have you seen how expensive passion fruit is?
No. Do you mean the fruit in the stores
yeah,
or the plants?
In the store.
No. Watermelon's really expensive.
Yeah, because there's been a bit of a shortage.
Yeah.
So...
You can't
I know.
Dent it in the car on the way home because that costs you $8.
You know, we used to buy full watermelons, you know, the big old-fashioned ones. You get a whole watermelon for like $6.
Seeds and all.
Now it's about 60. It is actually $60 to buy a big watermelon.
My toddler eats the rind and I'm like, good for you.
Yeah.
Let's get our money's worth. I'm not going to stop you from doing that, Mitch. You'll go hard.
In fact, we'll eat the red bit, Mitch, and you just go for that bottom rind.
Exactly. Let's go to Michael in Bunbury. Hello, Michael.
Hello. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Michael.
Now, I've got an enormous ivy growing and I want it to die.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Now, what I'm doing at the moment is I've cut it off. I'm trying to find the trunks coming up out of the ground, cut them off at ground level.
Yep.
And treating the stump with one of those stump killer things.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'm mixing it with kerosene, or I don't know, maybe I should just paint it straight onto it. But, yeah, is there anything you suggest?
Persistence. I have to tell you that ivy is the greatest mongrel of a thing to get rid of.
Yeah.
So persistence, you're going to have to keep spraying it, keep painting it, keep putting on the blackberry and tree killer with kerosene mixed on it. You're going to have to keep on top of it for 2 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, right. That's what I'll
do then. It's a challenge, to say the least.
Yes, okay. I will win.
You will win, well, Michael.
We'll see you all back here in two years.
That's the attitude I like to hear. You will win. Why people plant ivy, I do not know.
Yeah, it's all along Beaufort Street. Good luck, Michael. I wish you luck.
Thank you.
Okay, see ya.
All right, let's go to Tina in Menora. Hi, Tina.
Oh, good morning, lady. Thanks
morning, Tina. It is our absolute pleasure. Otherwise, we'd have nothing to do.
Except watch the bird cam.
Have fun. I've sent in a photo, a couple of photos actually. The first one is a dying hibiscus. I've got a number. I think we talked about them before, about people that have called in, and just part of it dies, like it'll be limb, or in the case of the one I sent in, like three quarters of it, and there's just one tiny branch at the bottom that's fully alive.
Right.
I just don't know what's going on or what to do with them.
So I think we've got the wrong picture up here because it looks like
have you got the little scroll down.
Yes, there's the other one.
Okay. So yes, your hibiscus does not look happy. I would actually take it out of the pot and the soil, shake the soil off, repot it in fresh potting mix, and prune it back by a third on all the branches.
Oh, okay, because it's happened not just to the potted ones. I've had two in the ground that it's happened to.
So,
part just dies.
Oh.
And a bit remains, or the whole thing just dies, yeah.
Okay, so that could be root rot. You may be overwatering.
Okay.
Yeah. And your lemon-scented tea tree in that little tiny pot, you're going to have to tip the whole thing upside down to get it out.
Well, there's four of them. I mean, that tea tree has been there for like 60 years. It's the first time I've ever seedling.
Wow.
And it's not looking happy because it's next to a lemon-scented gum tree, which is massive. So how can I make them grow or keep them alive? Because I know a lot of plants don't like to be transplanted.
You should be okay with the tea tree because you just need to – you're going to have to prune it back by 50% and they like their own space. Don't overcrowd them with other tea tree. They like to be on their own.
Yeah, I get that. Mm. Yeah, for sure. Mm. You know, I feel like it should be illegal to sell pots that don't have holes in the bottom, don't you?
Well,
is there a purpose? Tell me.
Yeah, because some people – use them as water bowls and things.
Oh.
But now the trick is mm-hmm. you go and get yourself, if they're terracotta, you get yourself a masonry bit.
Oh.
Pots never have enough holes in them anyway.
Yeah.
And it's bad having the hole at the bottom. You actually need them on the side. Because when the pots are on the ground, unless you have them on legs, it doesn't drain away. You've got one hole at the bottom. The root system hits that hole, blocks it off, and then it doesn't drain at all. I always put extra holes in any pot I get, and if you've got china, terracotta, whatever, you need to use the masonry bit.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's those beautiful ginger pots, then you can use a tile drill to start the small hole and then a masonry bit after that.
Nice one. That's a great idea. Ray in Dawesville, you're up next. Hello.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Yeah, not very good. Well, Ray.
I've got a question about seed starting.
Yeah?
I've got some Indian, what do they call them? Indian water almond tree seeds.
Oh, yeah. They have the big broad canopy, big leaves, and they have a nut like a bit like an almond.
Correct. They grow in barley, and I want to plant them in my beach.
Yep. Their name is Terminalia. They grow really well from Carnarvon all the way up through the Kimberley. So you can grow them from that seed and they grow really, really easily from a cutting.
Okay. So how do I start the seed? Do I put them in water or sand or whatever?
You need to scarify the seed. So you need to get just a piece of sandpaper or emery board and you're going to scarify it so you're taking the tip off the seed because it won't absorb the water unless you do that. So do that, then soak the seed in hot water for about 4 hours, then you plant it out at a depth, twice the depth of the length of the seed.
Oh, okay, so they're not that deeply planted, okay.
No, no, and they love the heat, so putting that out on a 41-degree day, well, not out in the sun, of course, but while it's that warm, they're going to love it.
Yeah. Oh, very good, because I brought home about 20.
Excellent. Now, you won't have 100% success, so do all of them.
Yep, okay, bulk order.
Yep.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
Good luck, Seed Daddy. Do you seed raising mix for something like that?
Yeah, but I make my own. Ah. So I use coarse river sand, which you just buy in a bag, and then I mix perlite or vermiculite with it and a tiny, weeny bit of compost.
That's clever.
Well, it's cheap.
Yeah, that works, definitely.
Much cheaper to make your own, people. And you can use cocoa peat.
Oh, yeah. I've got some Nutsia floribunda seeds after the raven, the angry bird, pulled mine out of the ground. Mm. And they're from King's Park. You buy it from the store.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're pre-smoked, but that's, you know, it scares the living daylights out of me. It's like holding a newborn. What do I do with your newborn? I don't know. You're in a packet. I'm going to leave you there.
Actually, I'm going to have a crack at making my own smoke water this year.
Oh.
You just need a campfire.
Things you only hear on the ABC. Yeah, let's go to Paul from Secret Harbour. Hello, Paul.
Hello, ladies. Good morning and thanks for the program.
Our pleasure.
Look, I've got a young Coprosma hedge. It's the gold fever variety. And I think I've planted some of them too far apart, though. They're about 7 feet apart.
Okay.
And so I've bought a couple of small ones to now sort of transplant some of the ones to fit them in.
Yeah.
What's the best time of year to do the transplanting? They're about 2 feet high, 2-3 feet high.
Oh, okay. Oh, so they're the ones you want to plant out or
are the ones I want to move transplant. To make space for the little baby ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be doing that until the end of summer, Paul.
Yeah, it's going to stress them out, because
even though they have Coprosma have that really lovely waxy leaf, so they don't transpire as much as other plants, but they're sort of succulenty, so they can get sunburnt if you transplant them in summer. So I'd wait until March.
All right, less stress for them, less stress for me.
Absolutely, Paul. That's exactly right.
Good work, team. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Paul.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Bye-bye.
1300 222 720. Now, I must preface this next call by saying that it is a citrus question, and it has come from interstate. Now, I wonder whether Patrice from Goolwa Beach in South Australia has been kicked off their gardening show for asking yet another citrus question and has had to come over the border to find out.
Patrice and I go back a long way, don't we, Patrice?
Oh, yeah.
Phew!
You never got to Halls Creek, though, did you?
Nah, well, I haven't, not for years now, Patrice, not for years. I sort of skirted all the way around it but never actually got to it.
Yeah. Hey, look, I've got to tell you, I turned 70 last year.
You bloody trooper. I turned 70 next month.
Valentine's Day.
I'll tell you something, Sabrina and Amber.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll take that. It's a lot more fun being 20 in the 70s than being 70 in the 20s.
That's a really good one.
Actually, I don't know about that. I don't know, Patrice.
Your birthday, Sabrina, your birthday is on a Saturday.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, so we got to get Amber to jump out of a cake for you.
I don't think Amber would enjoy that, actually.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing is, by the way, before I ask my question, we have Daryl Braithwaite here in Goolwa.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen Daryl Braithwaite for years.
Yeah, he's doing a concert for the Algae Bloom.
What a champion. He's a really, really lovely man. When's it on? When's the concert, Patrice?
Tonight.
Oh, well, are there any tickets left?
4 hours to go. Yeah, there are actually.
Oh, there you go.
I've already got mine.
So if anyone is in Perth and wants to pop over, I'd get the flight now.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your citrus question, Patrice?
Well, what I do is I put my sprinkler on low, about the size of the... You always mention the apron of the tree is where the roots are.
Yeah.
So that's how loud I put my sprinkler on.
Yeah.
For about 15 minutes. Is that enough?
Yep. How often do you do it?
Once a month.
Oh, do you? Are they still alive, Patris?
Yes. Sadist. Oh, no.
Well, if you are, I would have said 15 minutes twice a week is okay. If you're only going to do it once a month, I'm amazed that you've got the bloody trees alive at all. So 20 minutes twice a week, Patris.
Oh, okay.
You are lucky that I'm not over there. You'd be getting a telling off.
Yeah, slap in the back of the head.
Yeah, that's exactly right, even though you are a 70-year-old man.
No, I'm fit, though.
I have no doubt, Patris. So okay. Up your water regime, mate. I think that's it's pretty tight, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Look, that was a verbal spanking. He won't forget. Now let's go to Wendy and Serpentine. If you'd like to call in, 1300 222 720. Got to be quick, though, because I tell you what.
Time flies.
Yeah, time flies and the lines don't flash for long. Now, Wendy, what's happening to your frangipani? Can you tell us?
Well, I'm really not sure. I have got three frangipanis.
Yep.
Of which this is one. Mm-hmm. The other two were absolutely brilliant. One's a big tree.
Yep.
The other one is a branch that I stuck in and is just growing beautifully.
Yep.
But this one is just awful.
Okay. So I'm going to describe to people what they're what I would deem as being munted.
Yeah, well, it looks like a koala's claw at the top of the frangipani stalk.
Yeah, and you can see where it's crying, bit of sap coming out.
And the bees love that sap. I don't know.
Yeah, they do. They do. And the leaves on the other one are yellow, crinkly. So there's a multiple of things going on here, Wendy. They've got rot. So you're going to have to spray them with an anti-rot. They've had a mealybug, I would say, or some sap sucker when the leaves are first coming out. And then they've also got a really bad nutrient deficiency, and that could be because of the rot. So don't prune anything, don't touch anything, but spray them with an anti-rot.
I thought it had mealybug, so I got a white oil spray, was that right?
Yep. How long ago did you do that?
Oh, not too long ago, about a month ago, I suppose.
Okay, so don't use that now because it's going to be too hot for it. So you can use a potassium soap-based spray, or you can use the very new organic pest killer spray that's made from a plant.
Which, no, let's not go there again. It ruined the text line for at least 30 minutes anyway. we are going to Mandurah where we find Shelley. Hello, Shelley.
Hey, Shelley.
Hey, how you going, Sabrina?
Yeah, good.
Oh, good.
I've sent you a photo.
Yeah.
And you can see my husband in the corner there. Digging.
Yes. Is that sweat at the top of his green shirt?
Yes, it is.
Much respect.
That's a big project.
Very good. When I say we're doing project, it's like the royal we.
You're the photographer.
So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you have to have people supervising works.
What's going on there?
Exactly. So what I'm going to ask is, we're going to have we're putting a retaining wall in, so he's digging the footings.
Yeah.
The garden bed to the front or the canal side of the retaining wall he's putting in is going to be about 50 centimetres wide between what's existing there and wide and the wall.
Yep.
And we want to – just a suggestion for some plant suggestions like for birds, bees, all the rest. We've got a lot of big gum trees you can see in the back corner.
Yep.
So we've already got a bit of a woolly bush and that in the corner as well.
Yep.
That
is – I'm pleased you called it a canal because that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, it's very deep.
So has he hand dug that?
Yeah, he's hand digging for the footings. He's using a jackhammer to break the dirt up and then digging it out, yeah.
I'll have to get his phone number. I mean,
well, he was a handyman, but he's retired now because I've got too many jobs for him.
Shame, really. Oh, but it's neat. Yeah. He's done it so neatly. Yeah, it's not often that I comment on the good works of trade blokes.
It's so neat. It could be on an episode of Is It Cake?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's very anyway, good. Back to your – okay. So
I'll play this back for him later.
Please do. Tell him that I think he's an absolute legend and he should show the – do some training for all the young tradies coming up and, you know, give them a bit of – excellent training. Anyway, so your question. Yes, it's a brilliant idea. So I would put in a combination of, I would use at least six different species and then repeat plant them. So there are some sensational grevilleas that you can use, Eremophilas, Adenanthus, Obovata, which no one plants. Adenanthus obovata. It's one of the most beautiful ones. There's so many Eremophilas and grevilleas you can choose from. Make sure you don't get anything that's more than, you know, 1.2, 1.5 metres. Then you've got the dwarf Banksia ashbii, which is they call it Calbarry candles. It's a beautiful little Banksia. They would be, and the, so you're in Mandurah. So things like the little sawtooth acacia is magnificent. The other one that does really well is Acacia glaucoptera.
Yeah.
Is an absolute ripper.
I'll go back and write all these down.
Go back and listen to it in the podcast. There are some beautiful grevilleas now that only get to 1.2 and they just flower and flower constantly.
Mm. Oh, can you just give me two of those?
Okay, so there's Grevillea City Lights.
City Lights, I know that one.
Grevillea Showgirl.
Showgirl. They both sound good to me. That sounds like me, actually.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Midas Touch is out
there. Oh, Midas Touch is a beautiful one as well. Yeah.
It's golden, but I think it's from the place up north starting with an M. But
It's an absolute cracker.
Yeah.
But with the six species, I'm including the small, the dwarf Banksia, I'll do two grevilleas and then one each of maybe an Eremophila and something else. Yeah, cool.
And the Adenanthus is really, there's another Adenanthus called Lighthouse, and that's really important for the little tiny honey eaters because of the tubular flower on it. They just love it.
Okay, perfect. Oh, you've been so helpful. I'm really glad that I said this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I turned the radio on and you were on, and I thought I just sent a photo to the bricklayer who's going to come and build the brick wall, and I thought I'll send one to
Love it. And you've got a good man there, Shelley, I have to say.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Shelley. 1300 222 720. It's nice to see so many photos coming in. But that is because Asha, producer, is so good at getting them up on the screen so we can visualise and you can give the best possible info. She's working hard.
She's a good girl.
As hard as that sweaty shirt guy.
I know. Husband. He's a legend. I'd like him to dig a trench at my place.
Well, that's one way to put it. Let's go to Sean in Rockingham.
No, seriously, I do mean a trench.
I know you do. That's it. You do. Sean, how's Rockingham?
Good morning, girls. How are you going?
Morning,
good.
Sean.
Save us.
How are you on the tools, mate? Are you pretty exceptional?
I can swing a tool or two.
Oh, excellent.
Jolly good.
All right. My question is, I had a very established pepper tree in my front garden.
Yep.
It was about 4 metres tall and 8 metre wide canopy, very healthy.
Yeah.
And got a friend to cut it back. And it was a little bit aggressive and it has not shooted and it's been 9 months.
Oh. No.
But he assures me that it'll still grow back.
Well, they're unkillable. Yep. No, seriously, they are unkillable. Now, is that the pepper tree with a very fine leaf that they call the Australian pepper tree?
Yes, it is. The one that's all in the northern suburbs. One of the most popular verge trees in the state.
No, it's not a peppermint tree. It's not the native peppermint tree, is it? Is it the peppermint?
I'm not sure. He calls it a pepper tree. He assures me it's a pepper tree.
Well, some people call the West Australian peppermint tree
right,
a pepper tree. Okay. So the pepper tree has little berries on it that look like pepper. They get little red and green berries.
No, it doesn't have that.
Okay, so you've got a peppermint, and the leaves don't smell. The leaves have a peppery smell on the peppermint tree. The leaves have a minty smell.
Peppermint, but it doesn't have any berries.
Okay, so no berries. Has it ever flowered? What white flowers?
Yes.
Okay. You've got a peppermint tree. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Now, the reason I asked that, Sean, is if it was a pepper tree, they're unkillable. If it's a pepper tree, they don't they tend not to like being pruned back to nothing. So that's been there for 9 months and there's been no new growth?
Correct.
I'd be really worried. Because it should have reshot after 9 months.
Oh, well, thanks for clarifying that.
I'll deal with it.
All right. Have a lovely day, ladies.
Okay. Oh, sorry, Sean. Okay.
Oh, good. Bye.
Oh, the feelings. Yeah. Oh, no. Gardening brings it all out. You know, dirty jokes, feelings, happiness. You know what I mean?
Joy, laughter.
Life lessons.
Yes. You know, they come and they go.
If you chop someone's head off, they'll either die or come back stronger. You know, it's kind of all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that sort of stuff.
Nuts.
What can we do for you, Brioni?
Hello. I'm in the foyer at my physio, so I'll just step outside so you can't hear the telly playing.
Oh, sorry. No, we'll be quick. We'll be quick.
I have a verge that I'm planting up with a native garden. I have been listening to you for ages, Sabrina, and I'm going to make it Black Cockatoo Paradise.
Yay!
Great.
I've got lots of woody nuts and that sort of thing. But I've got a lot of seeds that my late grandmother planted, that she collected, that I'd like to start and plant out. They're all Australian woody nuts, so some Banksias, some Hakeas, and some Casuarinas. And I heard you talking earlier about smoke water, and I'd love to know the best way to start them and how to make that smoke water.
Okay, so you can buy smoke water, just letting you know.
I have that. How hard can it be, Jean?
Yeah. Okay, so smoke water, you need to build the fire, then you need to pass the water. The water has to be sort of enclosed in where the fire is, and then you collect the once it's gone through being boiled in the fire, then you collect when it drips through into another container.
Yeah, I'd buy it. Hey, no, don't worry.
It's just at this time of the year you have to be really careful where you light outside fires, and it has to produce the fire, obviously, has to produce smoke.
Mm-hmm. So someone mentioned that you could potentially make it. My partner has a smoker, and someone potentially said that you could do it by mixing the ash in with water.
Yeah, now I have heard that, so I think that's definitely worth a try.
Yep. Okay.
You'd have to leave it in the water.
The best chance.
Yeah, you'd have to leave it because they're your grandmother's seeds. Mm. I just go and buy smoke water, actually.
Full circle.
Because I don't know if anyone we want to hear from anyone that's made their own smoke water to give us an idea on how they've done it, and if it actually if that works, if you're just putting water through your smoker that you use as a barbecue. So stay. I know that you can't listen now because you're about to go in for your physio, but
listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But
thank
you. I think something as precious as your grandmother's seed, I just go and buy the smoke water.
Yes. All right. Yep. Well, I've got two Zamia palms that I found seeds for her in the bush one day, and she put them on her mantelpiece, and they just germinated on the mantelpiece.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's great.
My God, she's got – that's all, you've got green thumbs.
Yeah. Good luck at the physio. Thank you, Bryony. All right, we've got 15 minutes left. So call now, not later, 1300-222-720. Now, Kathleen is in Mingenew and has a mango question.
Oh, mangoes. Yeah. Yum, yum. Good time of the year for mangoes.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
Yeah, good, Kathleen.
Hubby and I want to know the best fertiliser for mangoes, actually.
Okay. So you need a fertiliser that's got high levels of potassium.
High level.
Of potassium. So they make a tropical fruit fertiliser. That's got, because you don't want them to have too much nitrogen. So you want them to have all the NPK, so nitrogen, potassium and phosphorus, but you also want them to have manganese, magnesium, zinc.
Golly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you want all the trace minerals in the fertiliser, Kathleen.
Yeah.
So have a look at the back. I can't give you product names, but have a look at the back of the bag and look at what is in there, and you want a potassium level that's greater than 10%.
Better than 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bit slow, sorry.
That's all right.
Never apologise.
We've got plenty of time.
Yep.
Oh, well, my mum waited 9 months for me and look what she got.
Oh, hey. She got a little star.
And she probably gets some good mangoes now as well. Did you have another question, Kathleen?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. Do Portianas grow in Mingenew?
Now, it depends if you get frost there or not, Kathleen.
Okay, because they grow very nice up in Dongara.
Oh, yeah, they do. So if you're in a frost-free area, then if it doesn't get below 5 degrees, you could definitely, if you've got a nice sheltered area, you could definitely have a crack at growing one.
Okay.
Okay?
You show and Dongara.
I don't know about that. Just quickly too, there's more people than me waiting. Coming back to mangoes, I put a seed in a pot plant and now it's growing quite all right, but it's not where the seed was. It's on the other side of it. Is that anything?
Yeah, that's fine. That is no problem at all. That's what they do. Mango seeds, well, they can have six. Yeah, they have six little shoots come out of the one seed.
Can they?
Oh, they're overproducers.
That's really interesting. I didn't know that. Mm. Thank you, Kathleen. I've learnt something. Let's go to Beth in Bonnyfield. Where's Bonnyfield?
Near Dongara.
All right. Sorry for what I just said.
Yes.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, Beth.
So my question is about tomato leaves.
Yeah.
There seems to be a lot of leaves dying on my plant, and then I read something on your social media page to say that you can strip off some leaves.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of the lower leaves you should actually clip off anyway, because they'll get all the spores coming up from the soil. So you take off the lower leaves and that helps prevent fungal diseases. If you see that they're starting to get crinkly or powdery mildew, you just cut the leaves off before they actually infect all the other leaves.
I don't have powdery mildew.
No?
I just have the leaves dying and I just think, well, geez, I water them enough. I'm surprised.
Yeah, it won't.
Not all the leaves, but a lot of the leaves.
Well, that could be a fungal disease, Beth, or a virus. Tomatoes, unfortunately, are susceptible to about 43 different diseases, and it's really hard to track down which one is what. But I would give them a spray with a Mancozeb spray.
And when it comes to leaves dying at the bottom, I've heard you say it before, that sometimes it can be normal because the growth energy is going to the top.
To the top,
but it depends.
Yeah. If you see leaves dying from the top down, that's usually not a good sign.
Yep.
That's usually a virus and there's not much you can do about it at all.
And if the leaves are yellow,
then that's a fungal disease
yeah.
or a virus.
Yeah.
Or a nutrient deficiency.
Or overwatering. It's so, that's why you are here every week translating for the world of plants. Rod from Bunbury, how are your blueberries going?
Hello.
Hello, Rod.
Hi.
Well, I haven't actually planted them yet, so they're not going. But it's more an inquiry about going about planting them.
Yeah.
I've been told that... you can plant blueberries in pots.
Yeah, you can.
And you can actually bury the pots into the ground as well.
It depends. Well, you're in Bunbury, so your soil is free draining. You would never bury the pots in the ground if you live in heavier soil because the roots will rot. So in your instance, you can. Now, there you need... acidic soil, there's the same one that you would use for azaleas and camellias. So yep. if you want to get that kind of potting mix, get that. But I would still add some compost to that. So you want 10% compost added into that. And I'd also mix in a bit of cow poo.
Yes. Okay.
Now, if you're going to bury the pots, you have to make sure there is enough drainage in the pots. So having one hole at the bottom will not be enough. You'll have to drill extra holes around the side, down the bottom of the pot, but around the side.
Yes, I was aware I'd have to do that.
Yep.
I plan to do that, actually.
Yep.
And I'm looking at pots that are going to be like about 2 feet in diameter and about 2 feet deep.
Oh, great. Yeah, perfect. So I would plant those about 10 to 15 centimetres deep in the soil.
Right, okay. So not completely into Mm-mm. the soil.
No, definitely don't do that. They'll end up just rotting.
Yes, okay. Mm. Well, that's great. That's great advice.
Beautiful. Thanks Rod.
Okay, bye.
Wow, that's really interesting. Mitchell calls them blue bellies.
Oh, I love that. Oh, blue bellies. They are round, yeah. like my belly.
And they end up on his belly, not in his belly.
Yeah.
yeah. Let's go to Sharon in Bunbury. Hi, Sharon. Oh, hello.
Hello, Sharon.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a problem with my jacaranda.
Yeah.
It has interfered with my reticulation.
It's gone through your reticulation.
Separated joint.
Oh, it's right. Yep.
Okay, we can't quite hear you, Sharon.
Your line is terrible. It just cuts out all the time. I think the jacaranda tree root has done some damage, and Sharon probably wants to know if she can cut the root. Yes, you can. Yes, you can cut the root. Now, jacarandas have quite a large root system. When you cut the root off a tree, if it's a really big root, it will affect part of the tree,
yeah.
but it won't kill it.
Wow.
So,
'cause what is a taproot?
Well, they call it taproot, which is the main central root that goes straight down.
Okay.
But not all trees develop a taproot. Root.
Okay.
But then you've got all the side roots, and they're the feeder roots usually.
Yep, yep.
So things like eucalyptus trees traditionally have a root that goes right down, but yep. many eucalypts actually have, you know, roots that go out wide. So things like a mulberry tree will develop massive big roots all the way through the root system rather than a single taproot.
Oh, look at that, survival, hey? Tim in Spearwood, we heard it through his grapevine, which doesn't look great. Hi, Tim.
G'day, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, you're good.
What's going on?
You've got a bit of powdery mildew going on there, mate.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what it is. Julie suggested that's what it was, but I thought, well, I'll send it to you girls and see if you can definitely identify it.
And it's affecting the fruit as well.
Yeah, it's going really, really small this year.
So it's a bit late to spray now, Tim. You could try, it's going to be really hot next week, so you can't spray anything, otherwise it'll just burn all the foliage off.
Yeah, no, I can wait till next year. We'll, yeah, we'll just put up with a loss this year.
Yeah, so next year you need to spray the vine with lime sulphur just before bud burst.
Okay.
To try and get on top of the powdery mildew, because the spores will be hanging around. Don't prune it, though. Wait until June, July to prune it, Tim. Don't prune it.
Yeah, yeah.
You could
normal time pruning.
Yeah, yep. Normal time pruning. You could cut the bunches of grapes off, though, because I don't think you're going to get much joy out of them.
No. They'll just get really small and then they fall off.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Having enough of a battle against the rats, let alone the...
Oh. Rats do like a grape in the evening, don't they?
And cat food.
And the avocados and the figs and everything else we've got.
But also, well done to Julie. Julie got it right.
Yeah.
Is that your Mrs. Tim?
Yeah.
Yep. She's points. On the money there.
Very good. Thanks, Tim.
Okay. Well, what was that again? Worst stuff again, sorry?
So when at bud burst, you need to spray with lime sulphur.
Lime sulphur.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Good on you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, we're on the clock now. 3 minutes to go. Next is Chloe from Ferndale. Hello, Chloe.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Oof. I've got a sprinkler problem with my plants out the back, and I want to know what you think I should do with them and if they're salvageable.
I reckon there's life. So there is a little bit of green there. They do like they look like they've been through a bushfire, Chloe. But okay, but there's green there. Now, I don't want you to prune anything. I want you to get a wetting agent, and I want you to thoroughly soak it.
Yep.
With wetting agent, and then get some seaweed solution and compost around the base of the plant, and you're going to have to water it like they're in a typhoon. So
every day?
Yep, every day. Okay. You're going to have to water every day, and I reckon they'll come back.
And why don't you prune the brown bits off? What's
because that's going to be protecting the bark that's on the main stems.
Oh, yeah. Nice one. Okay.
And they'll eventually fall off, yeah. But don't do it, no pruning. Just water, 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 wetting agent, compost, and a lot of singing.
Perfect. I'll think
so.
Thanks,
ladies. Thanks, Chloe.
Soil wet is like a bubble bath. It freaked me out. I don't like it. Yeah. Why are there bubbles coming from the soil? I know that sometimes it's oxygen, but what is this? Are you going to smell good? All right. You've got 20 seconds, Elizabeth from Esperance. Your question for Sabrina?
Sabrina, I've got a purple and a blue kangaroo paw with heaps of spent flowers. Should I take them off or leave them?
No, take them off, Elizabeth, because when you take them off, they give you more flowers.
Hooray! And I'm so impressed that yours are still alive. Still?
I know. Let's see what happens after Tuesday, though, shall we?
Oh, I know. Mm. So what advice do you have for the week ahead? Depending on where you are in the state, this will differ, obviously. But
I'd be watering on Monday night.
Yeah, okay.
And very early Tuesday morning.
Yes, yep. And then how often are you watering at the moment anyway?
Well, on a 41-degree day, I would hand water daily.
Yeah, okay, all right, that's good to know. Well, look, Amber is going to be back next week. If you missed anything this morning, like the really hard Latin names and the clitoria spray, and I can say that because we're leaving, you can go to the ABC website, abc.net.au. Look for Roots and Shoots, and you will see Sabrina and Amber together embracing, and then look up the time that you called. Hopefully not too hard. Thank you for all of your texts. Sabby, I'll see you soon.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.